بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ادفع بالتي هي أحسن صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and he had mentioned to them, يَأْتِيكُمْ وَائِلُ بْنُ حُجْرٍ وَائِلْ بِنْ حُجَرْ is going to come very soon. He is from بَقِيَّةٌ مِنْ أَقْيَالِ يَمَنْ. He is from the royal family or the monarchs or the kings of Yemen, from that family, from that dynasty. His family were ruling Yemen in those days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised Wa'il bin Hujar radiallahu ta'ala. He was very excited about the arrival of Wa'il bin Hujar radiallahu ta'ala. Allah had informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Wa'il is going to come. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in preparation for the arrival of Wa'il bin Hujar radiallahu ta'ala, he is already informing the Sahaba that this person is going to come. Wa'il bin Hujar, he comes from Yemen, from Hadramaut, very far place. Those days they had to travel by camel or by horseback, a long tedious journey. And what was amazing about this person, Wa'il bin Hujar radiallahu ta'ala, Rasulullah tells the Sahaba that he is coming ta'i'an raghiban fi Allahi wa Rasulih. He is coming voluntarily. There was no pressure put on him to accept Islam, Iman. Nobody forced him. Allah blessed him with hidayat. He must have heard something about Iman, Islam, about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not coming as a captive, he's not coming as a slave, he's a king. And he's coming happily, voluntarily. Raghiban fi Allahi wa Rasulih, having raghbat, longing for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And soon he comes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is elated. And he brings Wa'il bin Hujar right next to him. Makes him sit next to him. He spreads his shawl for Wa'il bin Hujar radiallahu ta'ala, honoring him, making his ikram. And Rasulullah made dua for Wa'il bin Hujar and his progeny. Allahumma barik fihi wa waladihi, or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah was so happy. Imagine, the king of Yemen is accepting Iman. And there was no coercion, there was no force, no compulsion upon him. So Rasulullah SAW gives him a plot of land in Medina Munawwara. Obviously, Wa'il bin Hujar is new to Medina Munawwara. He does not know where this plot is. So Rasulullah SAW sends Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. Tells him, go with Wa'il bin Hujar and show him the plot that I have gifted to him. So Wa'il bin Hujar radiallahu just accept Islam now. He's a new Muslim. Obviously, he still has to learn the different ahkam of Sharia and so many other things. And Muawiyah bin Sufyan is younger. As the green is very hot, so Muawiyah radiallahu tells Wa'il that why don't you put me on the back of your camel? Seat me behind you. Wa'il bin Hujar said, no, no, no. Person like you does not know who Muawiyah is, but he's a young guy, a young person. See, it is not befitting you to sit with a person of a royal family. He says, okay, then give me your sandals, because it's very hot. So Wa'il bin Hujar tells him, no, take shade, go alongside the camel, and as the shade of the camel is coming onto the ground, you used to walk there in the zil, in the shade of the camel. Khair Muawiyah radin goes, and shows him the land that Rasulullah gives him, and then while proceeds with his journey, he goes back. Many, many years later, after the Rasulullah's demise, as Abu Bakr became Khalifa, after his demise, Umar radiallahu anhu becomes Khalifa after his demise, Usman radiallahu anhu becomes Khalifa after his demise, Ali radiallahu anhu becomes Khalifa after his demise, for a short period Hassan radiallahu anhu was Khalifa. After that, when Muawiyah becomes the Khalifa, Wa'il bin Hujar radiallahu ta'ala becomes in need. He's no longer a king. Now he comes to Medina, Munawwara, or he comes when Muawiyah is the Khalifa, not knowing, recognizing who this Khalifa is, but he has a need and he comes to Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and he expresses his need to him. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala recognized Wa'il bin Hujar. So exactly what Rasul did, he makes him sit on his side, makes his ikram, honors him, and sees to whatever need he has and gives him whatever he wanted. And then Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala tells Wa'il bin Hujar, Wa'il, you remember when you embraced Islam and you came from Hadramaut, and Rasulullah was so happy and he made you sit next to him and he honored you, and then he even gave you a plot of land. There was a youngster who went with you and he asked you to put him on the back of your camel, and you refused, and you told him, no, you must just walk in the shade of the camel. That youngster was me. Wa'il bin Hujar radiallahu anhu says, Allahu Akbar, how I wish that I had placed Muawiyah not on my camel's back, I placed him on my head on that occasion. That today, it is so embarrassing for me, that the same person who I didn't give a ride on the camel, today he is a Khalifa, and I needed him. Nonetheless, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they were great. They were the Sahaba were the galaxy, shining stars. The lesson for you and I here is, that sometimes, when we have power, we have skill, we have some strength, Allah has given us plentiful, and somebody who is under us, sometimes we ill-treat the person. Sometimes we talk to the person very harshly, rudely, we chase the person away. But then there comes a day in our life when suddenly we become muhtaj and we need the services of that person. We take the person for granted whilst we have the upper hand. We have a sense of superiority. That man is my worker. Oh, she's my daughter-in-law. How often a daughter-in-law, she was treated so badly by her mother-in-law. She makes a sabr, she went through miserable times. And later on when the mother-in-law is very ill, now she becomes muhtaj. All the others disappear. But the same daughter-in-law who she ill-treated, now makes a khidmat. When the tables turn, this is an idiom in English also. When the tables turn, and this is something all of us have to realize. Today I am in power. Today I have money, I have authority. So I will talk and I will do as I wish. Every action has a consequence. We don't realize one day, the same person we ill-treated today, tomorrow we will be at that person's mercy. We have seen in the seerah of Rasulullah SAW, and last week we mentioned the hijrah. Imagine Rasulullah SAW is actually taken out, he is forced to leave his hometown, Makkah Mukarramah. He looks at Makkah, he sheds those tears, oh Makkah, I love you. Had it not been for the people, for your people, I would not have left you. And how he was persecuted, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was tortured. Imagine two of his daughters married to the two sons of Abu Lahab. Both are divorced in front of Rasulullah SAW together. Imagine a father, two daughters coming back home. What pain, what misery, what torment. How much the Quraysh troubled him. They fought battles against Rasulullah SAW and the Sahaba. Radiallahu anhu majma'een. We know the history. And comes the day when Makkah is conquered. Fathu Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. When Makkah lies now at the feet of Rasulullah SAW. All those people who troubled Rasulullah SAW, they persecuted the Sahaba. Now they were worried. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he addressed them and he said, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. I have pardoned you. I have forgiven you. Those Quraysh didn't never imagined that the day will come when Makkah will come back into the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or come into the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They thought they were mighty, they were powerful. They drove him out of Makkah Mukarramah. See when the tables turned. How suddenly now you were the oppressor. Now you are the mercy of your own victim. The person who you troubled, who you persecuted. But Rasulullah shows us akhlaq. That he still pardoned them, he forgave them. He said the same what Sayyidina Yusuf a.s. did to his brothers, I will do the same. And what did Sayyidina Yusuf a.s. did? We know his incident. We've read the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in tafsir, we've heard so often. Young boy and his brothers were so jealous of him. And they actually throw him into a well. Not knowing what's going to happen to him now. He's going to die. He's got no food. Thrown into a dark well. How is he going to survive there? And they lied to their father that a wolf had devoured Yusuf. And from there he was taken by a caravan, sold as a slave in the markets of Misr, Egypt. Young boy, separated from his parents. His father is the Nabi of Allah, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was so beloved to his father. The separation, what anguish he must have suffered. What pain, what suffering. How he must have been longing for his parents. He's separated, taken away to Egypt. Sold as a slave, finally gets into the possession of the Aziz of Misr. And we know what then he had to go through, where he was falsely accused and then thrown into prison. But then comes the day when he is now the Minister of Finance of Egypt. Allah gave him that position. اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. Inni Hafizun Alim. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, years later. Now he's in charge of Egypt. Or the treasures of Egypt. And people from far and wide would come in their caravans seeking some food and assistance and ration. And Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was so generous and he would give them. And now his own brothers, who threw him out of jealousy, jealousy drove them to take him and throw him into the well. And they thought that this was the end of Yusuf. They come to Egypt not recognizing him. The moment they came in, he recognized, these are my brothers. He doesn't tell them anything. But you know, he makes a plan, because Binyamin was a younger brother whom Yusuf al-Islam loved a lot. And he makes a plan and keeps him with him. It's a lengthy incident. And finally, when the brothers come and take the ration, and then Yusuf alayhi salam tells them who he is. قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَا أَنْتَ يُوسُفْ. Are you really Yusuf? They were at his mercy now. See how the tables turned. They threw him without any food, without any water, without any means of survival into the well. Today they came stretching out their hands for food. And Yusuf alayhi salam said, لَا تَثْرِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. No revenge against you. I have pardoned you, I have forgiven you. And they were reunited, his father, mother, all were reunited. So these are lessons for us. If you're the boss in your shop, and how you treat people, sometimes a beggar, you chase him away. Our mashayikh have given a story, it's mentioned in the kitabs, that there was a couple sitting, they were sitting and having supper, and the wife had to, cooked a nice chicken. And as they were about to have their supper, somebody knocks on the door. husband was hungry, and who's this disturbing us? Wife goes, you see, it's a beggar. So this husband becomes very, very angry. This is the time to disturb us. And he's very rude to the beggar, and he chases that beggar away. Very rude, very harsh. Uses vulgar, obscene language. Gives him nothing, chases him away. Khair, they eat the supper. And later on in life, this man, he divorces this woman at the end of their marriage. After some time, she remarries somebody else, living with the person, she's happy. One day having supper with her husband, she had cooked the same meal, somebody knocks on the door. So this husband of hers, kind person, generous, he says, see who's there. So somebody says, it's a beggar. So he said, go and take something for him. He must be hungry. As she takes part of this meat or the chicken, and she goes to the door and she opens the door, she lets out a shriek. And she comes back to her husband running. So he runs, he comforts her. What happened? What happened? She says, no, nothing, it's okay. He said, no, tell me what happened. Did the beggar tell you anything? She said, no, no, no. Then very briefly, she quickly tells him, that see, the beggar who was there was once married to him. And a person came begging one day as we were having meal. And my husband, he chased that person, that beggar away. That beggar was my husband, the same person. Today, who is knocking on our door, that was my husband who I was married to. This new husband then tells her, that, oh my beloved wife, that beggar who had come that time, that's the same person I am married to you now. Allah Ta'ala changed, turned the tables. That man who was a beggar now becomes the husband. And the husband, original husband of the wife, now becomes beggar on the streets. So we always have to think very carefully. Our conduct, our akhlaq, myself, all of us. Sometime in that anger, we say things, we do things. We don't realize the consequences of our actions. Sometimes because Allah has given us intelligence, or we have knowledge, or we have some skill, we have authority, we have power. And we think everything is moving very well for us, and we'll be like this till we pass away. No. Allah watches. Allah sees, especially zulam, and we mentioned previously an incident of a person who was in Safa, Marwa, and in the Kaaba, Haramain, in the Haram Sharif. And he had his khadims, and he had his servants, and they were pushing away the people. Hato, bacho, move away. And this person showed arrogance in front of the Kaaba, as though he was a very mighty person. And he chased away. There were people who were making tawaf were pushed on one side. And somebody had seen him and saw what had happened. Years later, the same person who was the observer sees this man on the bridge of Basara or some place, begging from people. He recognizes him, goes to him, aren't you the same person who one day, once upon a time, you had servants and slaves who were pushing away the people because you were walking? He said, yes. It was not correct for me, it was not munasib for me. At a place where Allah's azamat, Allah's greatness, in front of his Kaaba, and I showed arrogance, this is what Allah did to me. There is an incident in the time of Bani Israel. There were three people whom Allah Ta'ala sent an angel to test them. The first person the angel went to had a skin disease. He was a leper. He was suffering leprosy. Very bad skin. So this person, the angel goes to him and asks him, what is it that you would like? He said, I wish I had a nice complexion. Lawnun hasan, wajildun hasan. Nice skin. The people look down upon me. So Allah must take this away from me. So the angel just passes his hand over this person, and immediately he gets nice skin, complexion, everything. And what else do you want? So he gives him a pregnant camel. And this king and this angel goes away. And so this person now, from this one camel, he gets so many camels. And he has nice, he becomes very rich, very prosperous. And the angel had gone to an ex-person who was bald. At that time, people would look down upon a person who had no hair, he was bald. And they would laugh and scoff at him. So the angel asked, "What do you want?" He said, "I wish I had some hair. And this baldness must go away from me. The people look down upon me, they mock at me, they jeer at me." So the angel passes his hand over his head and immediately he gets hair. And the angel gives him a cow. And he also becomes very prosperous. And then he goes to a third person who was blind. He says, "What do you want?" He says, "I wish Allah Ta'ala restores my sight and I am able to see again." And then he gives him some goats, a goat, and he is prosperous. Later on, this angel now goes to each one. He goes to the person with leprosy. And he goes as a leper himself, one who does not have good skin, whatever, he goes. And he says, "I am a faqir, I'm a beggar. Please, brother, help me. Give me something. You've got so much of camels." So this person says, No. "I got hukuk kathira. I got too much of responsibilities and I got to support my family and so many people. I'm sorry, I don't have anything." Then the angel said, "Aren't you the same person? Once upon a time, you had very bad skin, you had leprosy, you were suffering, and then people would look down upon you. Then Allah cured you, Allah gave you so much." He said, No, all these camels I inherited from my forefathers." So the angel tells him, "If you are lying, then Allah will put you back into the same condition you were." And immediately he goes back to the condition he was. And he goes to the second person. The person who was bald. He goes also in that state, that hayat. He's bald, he's a beggar, he begs from him, "By, please help me." He says, "No, I've got too much of responsibilities, I'm too busy, please go away from here." He says, "Aren't you the same person who was bald and Allah Ta'ala gave you hair then, and Allah gave you all these cows?" He says, No, I inherited this from my forefathers." So he tells him the same thing, "If you're lying, then may Allah put you back into the condition you were." And immediately he goes back into that poor condition he was. He goes to the blind person, tells him the same thing, goes as a blind man, as a beggar. This blind man was a good person. He says, "Take whatever you want. All this Allah Ta'ala gave me. I had no sight, Allah restored my sight. And Allah Ta'ala gave me this animal, the livestock that you see." So the angel sees that you have passed the test. And these other two, they have failed the test. The lesson for us is, see how halat changes. We forget sometimes our original condition. We were nothing. Sometimes the person had nothing. And then somebody assisted him in life. Then he became very prosperous. But despite that, he has no raham in his heart. He has no mercy. When somebody else comes to him, he does not reflect over his own past and his beginnings, how he was, so that he may feel pity upon him and also share something and give this person. Now he forgets. He feels everything was due to my own knowledge, my own skill. So my respected friends and elders, or mothers and sisters, few lessons. Sometimes we have power, strength, we have money, we have everything. And we ill-treat people, disrespect them, we oppress them, not knowing that one day when the tables will turn, we will be in need of the same people. And sometimes we are not in a good condition, and then Allah blesses us, and people assist us, and Allah gives us prosperity. Do not forget our initial condition. Think about it. Where did we start? You know, how many today we find, without any specific person, I'm just talking in general, that there were so many people, their fathers had started the business and made all the effort. And then mashallah, they're prosperous, and then the sons come, or the daughters, whoever, family members, the nephews, and they forget the initial effort of that father. They forget the initial du'as of that mother. And they have no time for their parents. Believe me, so many parents are living in old age homes. Despite their children having so much, they don't have few minutes for their own parents. But they will have time to go abroad and have entertainment and all the things of the dunya. Allah forbid, Allah protect us. Don't forget our original condition. Don't forget how we were and how we behave. When the tables turn, then we are at the mercy of somebody else. Rasulullah mentioned a hadith similar, related to this. لا تظهر الشماتة لأخيك فيرحمه الله ويبتليك. That do not express also, this is the third lesson. Do not express happiness on the musibah calamity of your brother. Your brother suffering some pain, some suffering, maybe poverty, maybe some sickness, and you're getting excited because you have jealousy for him. You have enmity for him. You don't want to see him bring thriving, having a thriving business and being prosperous and becoming richer than you. Rasul says, do not express joy on the calamity that has afflicted your brother, lest Allah has mercy upon him and changes his condition, وَيَبْتَلِيَكَ, and Allah puts you into misery. Allah puts you into calamity and difficulty. So my respected brothers and elders, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah. A simple message really. For myself, for all of us, we forget. Be kind to people. We made a mistake, we ask for, make amends, make tawbah, istighfar. Sometimes it happens, we don't realize. Things get to our mind, to our brains, and we forget. But these are lessons for us. That our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine what he went through being persecuted, still he forgave. That's why Rasul said, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. And be good to the person who is cruel to you. It's difficult, tough. Very difficult. You need to have courage for it. You need to have a very large heart. That person who gives you so much of taklif, now you actually pardon him, forgive him. Sayyidina Yusuf, imagine, thrown in the well, and then he still forgives his brothers. May Allah Ta'ala grant me tawfiq to understand, make amal, from all of us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.